pray in them.
While some aid has been trickling into Gaza, its many secure compared to the needs of the Palestinians. With Ramadan arriving, more assistance cannot come soon enough for them.
As the whole Muslim nation welcomes Ramadan, Palestinians are wondering why they have been abandoned by many Muslim leaders to face the Israeli campaign of death and starvation. To Abu Musabbih, the central area of Gaza Strip.
The Iranian National Oil and Gas Company says that this is the most strategic project in the history of Iran's oil and gas industry and its long-sought empowerment of domestic entities. Under this project, 90 trillion cubic feet of gas and 2 billion barrels of gas condensates will be available for use. Top Iranian companies Petropars, Oil Industries Engineering and Construction, Khatam al-Anbiya Construction Headquarters, Mapna Group, and a consulting company are the contractors of the mega project.
In the subject matter of the development and increase of capacities of the gas and oil refineries, we witnessed the second phase of Abadan refinery with the capacity of 210,000 barrels, which helped the production and supply of gas in the country. In the 14th phase of the South Pars refineries, 50 million cubic feet of gas is produced per day, which again adds to the capacity of gas production in the country.
The massive project has created an opportunity to kickstart economic prosperity and employment in the face of unilateral Western sanctions. This has also allowed Iranian producers and companies to engage greatly in the economic growth and industrial development of the country and neutralize the sanctions.
Today, all Iranian people should witness the fact that the surrounding nations trust the Iranian National Oil Company and the relative competent companies and contractors and do rely on them, because they know well that the South Pass was built by Iranian companies, and the day that they thought that it was impossible to do so without the help and presence of foreigners, that exact day was the day that South Pass became what it is today.
While sanctions have forced the governing bodies to change their attitude towards domestic companies and entrust them with tasks, it should be noted that Iranian producers are not perennial supporters of sanctions. Rather, they would like to interact and acquire world-class technologies from foreign companies to empower themselves.
With contracts for developing oil and gas fields signed and projects for boosting pressure in South Pars gas field being started, Iran is experiencing yet another success in the mega gas project to exploit the immense gas field. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Echoed through the streets of the Pakistani capital Islamabad as thousands of demonstrators gathered to condemn the United States and Israel.
Ceasefire now!
The protest, organized by Pakistan's largest religio-political party, Jamaat-e-Islami, saw passionate crowds marching through the streets, expressing solidarity with the Palestinian cause and denouncing Israel's actions, which take place with the support of the U.S.
Of course, there should be a ceasefire long ago, but even now we are pressing for it, and you have seen how irresponsible and insensitive Biden has been responding. He was just having ice cream and talking about ceasefire as if it was a very casual affair. And on the other hand, the way children are dying, women are dying from morning till night, and especially there are a lot of prisoners which are taken by Israel. And there are large number of women and children who have been taken as prisoners, and their condition is pathetic.
The acts of solidarity in Pakistan reflect widespread outrage and sympathy for the plight of the Palestinian people.
As a Pakistani citizen, I think that our government should immediately call for a ceasefire and boycott all the products that are supporting the Israeli aggression in Palestine. And I also want to say that the whole world should come out of their houses and protest, because the kids, Palestinian kids, are starving right now, and they are being starved, and they are scared, and they are homeless, and they have nothing to eat and drink, and they are dying. And how can anybody bear that?
The protesting Pakistanis called on the government to cut its ties with the U.S. over what they call the barbaric role in the killing of innocent men, women and children in Gaza.
People here in Pakistan are concerned about the ongoing atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza. They are demanding that the international community enforce an immediate ceasefire by bringing the U.S. and Israel to the International Court of Justice for their war crimes in Gaza. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Syrians have long been accustomed to eagerly welcoming the holy month of Ramadan, brimming with joy and happiness. But this year has brought an unusual sense of sadness as the harsh economic conditions exacerbated by unjustified Western sanctions is casting a shadow over their celebrations. Moreover, their hearts are heavy with sorrow for their brethren in Gaza, who endure the devastating consequences of the ongoing Israeli onslaught.
We are going through a painful situation as people do not have money due to the poor economic conditions. As store owners, we are trying to consider the people's circumstances by reducing prices during Ramadan. However, basic production materials are expensive due to the importing difficulties.
Ramadan is always a special month, as it is a month of worship, patience and blessings, especially in Palestine. However, this year, it is as if Palestinians in Gaza have been fasting for more than 5 months. We pray for them and gain our determination, patience and steadfastness from them, from the brave faces of Gaza's children, the resilience of its resistance fighters, and the patience of its steadfast women.
Ramadan comes this year while the Western world, which claims freedom and humanity, practices double standards with the people of Gaza, who are suffering from hunger, blockade, and Israeli crimes. Palestinians are paying the price for demanding their freedom and legitimate rights. Syrians will always stand with them until the final victory over the Zionist regime and the liberation of the occupied lands.
The month of Ramadan comes this year amid the continued unjust Western economic blockade on Syria. We see our people in Gaza suffering from blockade, hunger, killing, destruction, and continuous Zionist aggression without deterrent.
Syrians are a living nation because they have defended resistance, and the Palestinian people are the soul of resistance. We say to the West, you will lose, and the access of resistance from Iran to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and Yemen will prevail. We will break the Caesar Act and all your blockades on Syria and Gaza, and we will all pray in Al-Quds.
Syrian message to their brothers and sisters in Gaza is that no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, your tragedy in Gaza remains even more challenging, and your resilience is an inspiration not only for us, but for all free people around the world. Syrians welcome Ramadan this year amid hard economic conditions due to unjust Western sanctions and with heavy hearts for their besieged brothers and sisters in Gaza. Yet their commitment to the resistance fuels their faith in eventual victory. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Yemen is from all walks of life gathered in the capital Sana'a and other major cities and chanted slogans in praise of the Yemeni army's naval operations. They also reaffirmed their full support for the Palestinian people and pledged to continue the protests until the Israeli genocide ceases.
The Yemeni government, all its members, its president and the people have one position, which is to support the Palestinian cause. We must thwart the American, Israeli and British project and stop starvation in Palestine. Our position is an honorable position, and our broad movement indicates that the Yemenis have great awareness, and God willing, victories for the nation will be at hand.
Protesters expressed support for the Yemeni army's naval operations against Western vessels, stating that the Palestinian cause helped the Yemeni people overcome the problems created by the Western powers in the country. They believe the conspiracy targets the whole region, not just Palestine or Yemen, and call on all Muslims to unite to thwart Western projects.
We went out today in Sana'a, as you can see, and in the rest of the governorates to announce to the world that our demonstrations and our position is a religious position that will not change with regimes or rulers. We will continue to insist on our position until our brothers in Gaza are victorious, receive food and medicine, and the U.S.-Israeli genocide against them stops. Our army will also continue its operations until the aggression against our country stops. Our operations are escalating, and upcoming strikes will stun both friends and enemies.
Our demonstration here in Sana'a and other governorates is to send a message that we as Yemenis have been able to overcome all the differences and problems that the enemies sought to create inside Yemen. The other message is that we continue to support the Palestinian cause, and what is happening in Gaza is shameful for all Arabs and Muslims. The operations of our army in the Red Sea and Bab al-Mandab are completely linked to what is happening to the people of Gaza, and the escalation of naval military operations is a legitimate move to support the Palestinian cause.
Recently, the Yemeni army intensified its naval attacks against American, British, and Israeli-linked vessels and regional waterways, resulting in the sinking of a British vessel in the Gulf of Aden. It also attacked an American vessel, which the U.S. claimed led to loss of lives among the ship's crew members.
Yemenis assert that the success of Yemeni naval attacks, despite the presence of Western warships in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, demonstrates the capability and high-tech weaponry possessed by the Yemeni army. They believe this achievement should inspire other regional forces to join the fight and support the Palestinians in face of the common enemies. Abdul Latif Roshali, Sana'a.
In recent years, Iran and Russia have significantly enhanced their cooperation in a wide range of fields. A key driving force behind the growth of bilateral relations between the two countries is forging a new geoeconomic reality in one of the world's most strategic regions. Both nations have been pursuing several objectives in this regard. They have been after establishing an independent monetary system, energy market, and parallel supply chains outside the control of Western regulatory frameworks to circumvent sanctions imposed in an attempt to isolate them. And their efforts have yielded significant success. In the field of trade, despite facing severe sanctions, Iran has managed to surpass the $2 billion threshold in exports to Russia. Iran's exports to Russia predominantly consist of fruits, polymer products, vehicles, non-metal minerals, and chemical products. Similarly, Russian exports to Iran, valued at the same amount, mainly comprise agricultural products. Iranian officials have hailed the economic cooperation between the two nations as closer than ever.
Analyzing the export trend, we see an acceptable growth in all sectors, with Iran's exports to Russia witnessing a notable increase in both volume and value. This progress not only contributes to the advancement of the two nations, but also lays the foundation for the development of other regional countries.
The total value of annual bilateral trade between the two countries reached $4.9 billion in 2023, according to Iran's official statistics. A Russian economic delegation was in Tehran in late February for the 17th round of their Joint Economic Commission. Both sides then pledged to boost trade tenfold over the coming years. Mahdi Abusyan, Tehran.
On the International Day for Women's Rights, demonstrations and pro-feminism strikes were held around France by women and the men who support their fight for equality. In October 1789, the Women's March on Versailles apprehended King Louis XVI at his luxurious palace and brought him to justice in Paris. But much work remains to be done in Republican France. Only 37% of French Parliament is female. Two-thirds of France's working poor are women. in large part because women compose 80% of France's part-time workers.
A return to far-right economic austerity after the COVID lockdowns hurt women more than any other minority. Women are more likely to work in the government and to use social services, so cuts to government budgets hurt them more than men.
Une femme qui est tuée tous les trois jours en France.
In France, one woman is killed every 3 days by their partner or ex-partner. Our government must take more measures to protect the safety of our women. We also need policies which abolish the male-female pay gap and which better protect women from rape.
Israel's attempted genocide of Gaza has had a disastrous effect on women. From the starvation of 60,000 pregnant women to the forced displacement of 1 million females to the inhuman and degrading treatment of women by Israeli forces, according to the United Nations, to the murder of nearly 10,000 women.
Israel's genocide in Gaza is an issue for all feminists and for all humanists. Anyone who thinks that we are at the wrong march are obviously just Zionist imperialists, and they also obviously do not understand what it means to support women with equality, respect, and justice.
Globally, 60% of poor people are women. They are paid 23% less than a man, even when doing the same work, and they spend 2.5 more hours doing domestic chores than men.
We have made some progress pushing women's rights to the forefront, but we must demand many other advancements. We must also not forget about the rights of girls, many of whom suffer from sexual violence, and who must be better protected and better represented by our government.
In France and much of the West, women suffer from widespread objectification and the commodification of their bodies. France allows the use of naked women in public advertising, which many say undermines its regular claim to be a feminist model which other nations must emulate. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن می کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
July 12, 1983, Place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. Subject: Spiritual purification and focus on spirituality. The ultimate perfection of human beings has been to know that they are helpless, to understand that they are incapable of worshiping Allah, the one who was at the head of the lineage of prophets and saints, confesses that we have not understand you and it is right, and have not worshipped you, and that too is right, because worship is secondary to knowledge. This knowledge is to the extent of humans, to the amount that is the limit of humanity. They have knowledge, and the biggest of them is the Honorable Prophet. However, knowledge of Allah is in excess of this amount, which is the limit of humans.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Mousavi, and what we do in this program is to talk about certain speeches and viewpoints of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, who was the great leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then try to take some points and lessons out of these speeches and viewpoints in order for us to make use of them in our daily lives. About the holy month of Ramadan, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, "With the coming of the holy month of Ramadan, the month of mercy, forgiveness, and blessings, I beseech God the Exalted to make all of the Muslims more aware of their duties and responsibilities that the Creator of the worlds have given them. The responsibility of preserving the divine laws and acting upon the Holy Quran, which is the foundation of the revival of the honor and grandeur of Islam and the Muslims. Well, here Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is talking about the greatness of the month of Ramadan and the spiritual progress that one can have in this month. The world's religious and spiritual leader highlighted the spiritual perspectives and depth of philosophy of divine fast during the holy month of Ramadan. The founder of the Islamic Republic maintained that the holy month of Ramadan is an opportunity for self-training and self-purification. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, following the teachings of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also used to advise devotees to spiritually prepare themselves to observe the night of power or Laylatul Qadr, which has great virtues. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh used to attach great significance to the holy month of Ramadan and cancelled all extra activities to devote himself for divine and spiritual activities. The spiritual leader of the contemporary Muslim world used to spend the hours of this month to worship and mediate and considered the prayers as means of reaching to divine love. You see how this great character used to spend his time to worship God in this holy month, and he strongly advised the youth and people to do so, and that shows the significance of the mercy of Allah in this holy month. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode of Spring of the Truth. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. today's lesson, fasting is a tradition of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is an honor to be here. So we are talking about how fasting is a tradition of Allah. Now, you know, sometimes we have this unfortunate understanding or this kind of a concept that, well, fasting is not something which is common, or fasting is something which is unique just to Islam. In reality, when we go through the various traditions of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, peace and blessings upon them all, and when we go through the verses of the Holy Quran, we find that fasting is something which has been prescribed for all nations on behalf of the Almighty Allah. So in reality, fasting is a tradition or a sunnah of the Almighty Allah. When you kind of go a little bit into the research and you start to, you know, kind of, you know, again, do some research on the concept of fasting, you will find that many of the great religions that are present in the world today, they have a certain place for fasting, whether it's Christianity or Judaism. They have specific days in which they fast. And even if you go to the non-Abrahamic religions, Hinduism or Sikhism, I don't know, Buddhism, the various other, major somewhat religions of the world, you find that fasting also plays a very great role when it comes to their religious beliefs or their religious practices. So, even when you come to certain non-Abrahamic religions, you know, some of the people who study these religions, they say that the origins are most probably divine. They have just been corrupted over the passing of years, and this is why you find certain central themes within all of these religions, which points towards a one great God. And one of the practices which we find, which is a part of the lifestyle of many of these religions all across the world, is fasting.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A2Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about how fasting is a tradition of Allah. Fasting is a sunnah of the Almighty Allah. So we talked a little bit in the previous segment how many of the world religions, perhaps even all of the world religions that we find in the present day, they have some sort of concept of fasting. As we said, the Christian religion, the Jewish religion, even in these non-Abrahamic religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, you will find that there is some place for fasting within them. Now, this fasting, which is a tradition on behalf of the Almighty Allah, you know, it is something that is considered to be very sacred. It is something that is considered to be very honorable. And we find that a lot of the religious scholars from within these various religions, whether Abrahamic or non-Abrahamic, they have a very special place for fasting, and they themselves fast. So many of the religious leaders in the Christian faith and the Jewish faith and the Buddhist faith and the Hindu faith, you will find that they will practice fasting. And again, it's a discussion for a different program on what the effects are of fasting and vice versa. But just this idea that fasting is something which has been ordained by the Almighty God, and just to kind of, let's not leave it open-ended, but the main purpose of the fasting, of course, is to gain nearness to the Almighty Allah, to gain the satisfaction of the Almighty Allah. And this is why fasting is a tradition and a sunnah of Allah, the Mighty, the Exalted, because it brings the creation closer to the Creator.
Thank you. IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Ayahs, 30 days. The blessed month of Ramadan has arrived with Allah's mercy. Waking up at midnight for pre-dawn food or sahari is very interesting, especially on the first day of Ramadan. Ramadan is a month of mercy, blessing and forgiveness, as Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said in his sermon on the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban. But this month is also called the spring of the Quran, since the Holy Quran was revealed in this month, and recitation of one ayah of the Holy Quran is equal to recitation of the whole of this book in other months. Therefore, we have prepared a special series in 30 parts, and each day we're going to touch upon one ayah and explain it in a simple way. Today we're going to speak about ayah 75 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran. Stay with us for more. A monotheistic person not only reflects on the Holy Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Holy Quran's teachings, first of all, was a duty of the Holy Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful, too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Holy Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. All of us have faced vision error. It means that sometimes our eyes deceive us. Throughout history, there have been persons and groups which didn't intend masses to understand the reality because it would be to their detriment. Thus, they distorted and twisted realities in various ways. Ayah 75 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran reads, "Are they eager that they should believe you, though a part of them would hear the word of Allah, and then they would distort it after they had understood it while they knew what they were doing." This ayah is about the Israelites, the most hypocritical and treacherous nation in history. They were the people who had been set free from the yoke of oppressive rulers, but they didn't obey Allah's command to rise up for reforming of the world. The Israelites would always defy and distort realities. Distortion is the poison which pollutes the mind of audience and replaces truth with falsehood. The current of distortion always tries to obfuscate the atmosphere so that people analyze events incorrectly. In view of this, Muslims are duty-bound to struggle against distortion via explanation and spreading of realities to the public. Thank you. explaining is the greatest duty of scholars, particularly the ulama or religious scholars. God Almighty says in Ayah 159 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran, "Indeed, those who conceal what we have sent down of manifest proofs and guidance, after we have clarified it in the book for mankind, they shall be cursed by Allah and cursed by the cursers." The greatest exegete of the Noble Quran in the 20th century, Allama Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, writes in the interpretation of this ayah, "A scholar who conceals realities will be cursed by God due to this sin, and since he has not fulfilled his duty, he has not clarified reality, hence distancing others from bliss, will be cursed by the cursers." Concealment of realities not only will cause ignorance and misery for the scholar, but will lead his followers to destruction too. Ayah 75 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran, that was recited earlier, speaks about those who knowingly distort reality and try to conceal it. The Holy Quran warns us that we should not pin our hopes on such people. They used to be in the middle of developments, but their hearts became stone, and knowingly they twisted realities to distort the mentality of society. Such people should be exposed and not be able to lead social currents. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, once told the people of Medina, "Whenever you see Muawiyah on my minbar or pulpit, kill him." Muawiyah, with the help of his court mullahs, changed the Arabic phrase faqtulu, meaning kill him, into faqbalu, meaning accept him. So people very easily accepted this distorted hadith and trusted the pseudo-scholars who would distort the words of the Holy Prophet for money, and had indeed sold off themselves to the Umayyad regime for the paltry gain of this world. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, explains in Sermon 210 of Nahj al-Balagha, typical scholars of the first era of Islam, saying that they are like a hypocrite man who pretends faith, demonstrates himself as a Muslim, neither fears sin, nor does he keep aloof from it, and attributes lie to the Prophet intentionally. If people knew that he is a hypocrite and a liar, they would not accept him and believe his word. But they say that he is the Prophet's companion, and he has seen and heard from him and learnt from him. So they take his word and accept it. This is why God made Muslims aware of hypocrites, and it was necessary and described these people for them. After the Prophet, these hypocrites remained and, through lying and calumny, caused the stray to come to power and rule. They made them mount on people's back, thereby they looted and ate the world. Mere companionship of the Holy Prophet is not a reason to trust the person, because distortion originates from the hearts of such scholars and narrators who distort religion in favour of their vested interests and trivial gains of this world. Social and historical currents are full of such distortions. Now pay attention to this account. It is narrated that once the Prophet of Islam sent Ibn Abbas to summon Muawiyah. When Ibn Abbas went to Muawiyah, he was eating food and refused to go to the Holy Prophet. This happened several times so that the Messenger of Mercy cursed him in this way: "May God never fill his stomach." This became reality, and the rebel Muawiyah never felt full. But look at how this narration was distorted later on, in a way that this curse of the Holy Prophet was changed into a virtue for Muawiyah. The famous narrator, Ibn Qasir, writes on this narration, "According to this claim of the Prophet, Muawiyah has prospered both in this world and the hereafter. When he became the ruler of Syria, he would eat 7 meals per day. His dish was a large bowl with lots of meat. Muawiyah used to eat 7 times a day, a lot of meat, sweets and fruits every day, while saying, 'I swear by God that I'm not satisfied, I just get tired, and this is a bounty that all kings yearn for.'" Distortion of realities by oppressors will never end, as we witness to it. The lies and distortions spread by Zionists and the media affiliated to them has filled everywhere, so much so that one must be very smart to distinguish truth from falsehood. Palestinians, who had no choice but to endure 75 years of occupation by the Zionists, staged the Operation Al-Aqsa Storm on 7th of October last year. But the Zionist-controlled media accused Palestinians of aggression and labelled the atrocities of the Zionist criminals as self-defence. This hired media shamelessly fabricated the naked lie of beheading of Israeli children by Hamas and turned it into a valid narration. While the bombers of the usurper Zionist regime caused over 800 women and children to plunge in their blood in the Al-Ma'madani hospital, the gruesome event was attributed to a mistaken missile attack by the Islamic Jihad movement. The magnitude of the lie towards an ongoing event in the world is pumped by the Israeli regime, which very easily and unabashedly changes the place of the victim and the criminal, the murdered and the murderer.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really glad to have Brother Hussein Akbari and Fawad Haider with me today in the studio. Salaam alaikum, Fawad Haider.
Salaam sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How about you?
I'm good.
Alhamdulillah. Salaam Hussein, how are you?
Salaam alaikum, I'm fine.
Fine? Alright, so everyone is fine here. So brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, thank you so much for joining. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 45, Surah Al-A'raf, and Hussein will tell us what page?
156.
So everybody, page 156, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 45. Should we listen to a recitation of this ayah?
Yes, we should.
Alright, let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا وهم بالآخرة كافرون.
Nice recitation. We really enjoyed it. So let me read it, then one of you will recite and we'll practice, okay?
Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا وهم بالآخرة كافرون. This is beautiful ayah. It talks about the ظالمين in the previous ayah, right before that ayah. Look at the end of ayah 44. اللعنة الله
على الظالمين.
So who are the ظالمين? Who are the wrongdoers?
The wrongdoers.
Yeah, Allah Almighty says ظالمين or the wrongdoers are those, okay, who bar others, who stop others
from going to the right
path. عن سبيل الله.
To the
from the
path of Allah.
ويبغونها عوجا. And seek to make it crooked. What does it mean? It means they're trying to bring doubts, okay, to them and make them kind of disbelieve. Allah Almighty says, الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ the ظَالِمِينَ the wrongdoers are those who borrow, who prevent, who stop others from going to the way of Allah Almighty. What does it mean? It means there are a lot of people, God forbid, they destroy the masajid. Alright?
Yes.
These are the people who stop people from going to the way of Allah. There are a lot of people who stop, who prevent us from going to schools, from going to the courses, yeah, centers, educational centers.
Yes.
Yeah, these are the people who are ظالمين. And also people who, what? Who advertise the wrong teachings among the community. These are also people who stop others from going to the way of Allah. These are ظالمين.
So what if it's their own idea or opinion?
Oh no.
They do not want you to go away from your opinion. Okay. They're just expressing their own opinion.
Sometimes, look, I might say that I'm doing it for my life. It's my life. It's none of others' business. But no, that's not true because you're living in a community. Okay? You influence others.
Yes.
You should be careful. Okay? You should be careful. Doesn't mean like, because it's your life, it's your job, okay? It doesn't have to do anything to the with the community, but it has, certainly. So you're responsible for that. If it's your own idea, your own opinion, it doesn't mean whatever you want to do, just do it. No, you're living in the community, there are some rules and regulations you have to follow. You should respect others as well, others' life as well. You affect them. So, Hussein, once read it. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ and they disbelieve in the hereafter, the wrongdoers. Hussein, read it please, recite it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Super, mashallah.
الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا وهم بالآخرة كافرون.
أحسنتم. You could stop at ويبغونها عوجا. You could stop here. Alright, say. Read it again and stop at عوجا.
الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا.
أحسن. Good. So, Fawad, can you tell us about one of the mistakes that Hussein made? Maybe
yeah.
That was intentionally.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, after الذين يصدون, he pronounced noon wrongly. He said an with a higher like.
He pronounced the noon.
Yes, he pronounced the noon completely. Right. He tried to hide the sound, but he couldn't.
So
like he said,
what do you mean, hide the sound? We should hide the sound of noon.
Yes.
Here. How?
Sabili.
Why? Why should I? It's so, noon, I have to pronounce it.
Yes, noon. So after noon, there's sin. Sin is not categorized into those three groups, idgham, idhar, or iqlab. It's from rest of the letters, so that's why we pronounce it good. Like that.
So we have four different rules for nun sakin or tanween.
Yes.
It means whenever you see a nun, which is sakin, in a word in the Quran, or a tanween, an, in, un, you should apply one of these four rules. Hussein, name them. Idgham,
ikhfa,
ikhfa,
iqlab,
and izhar. One of these four rules must be applied.
Yes.
And the rule says for what? We apply the rule based on what?
The letter after.
Ah, the letter that comes just after.
Just
that.
After.
So, an ends with nun sakin. An. Is that nun sakin?
Yes.
Yes. That's nun sakin. So, after nun sakin, you have the letter sin. Ah, you gotta take a look at the groups of letters. We have four groups of letters for all those four rules.
Yes.
It means for each rule we have one group of letters.
Yes.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So for the rule إظهار, that says you should
clearly pronounce
the noon. For example, n sound should be there.
Yes.
An, in, un, the sound should be clear.
Yes.
It says whenever these six letters come after the nun sakin or tanween, you should pronounce it. One of these six letters. Hamza.
Ha.
Ha. Ha. Kha.
Kha.
Ayn and.
Ghain.
Ghain. So one of these six letters. If you have them if one of these six letters follow the tanween or nun sakin, you should pronounce tanween or nun sakin.
Yes.
So remember the six letters. Let's put them aside. Second group, the letters.
Idgham
letters. What are the idgham letters?
Yarmalun
letters. Okay, tell them.
Ya.
Ya.
Ra.
Mim.
Lam.
Lam.
Nun.
Wow.
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 And nun.
And
so these six letters. Is seen one of the six letters?
No.
So seen is not categorized in these two groups. Let's put aside.
Yes.
Third group, the letter
ba.
Ba, iqlab.
Yes.
And it says you gotta change the sound.
Change the sound.
So seen is not in this group.
Yes.
There's only one letter and that is
ba.
That is
ba.
Ba. So it's not in this group. Seen is not in this group. Let's put it aside. The rest of the letters are categorized for the rule
ikhfa.
Ikhfa, which means you
hide
the sound. Now, is seen one of the rest of the letters?
Yes, it is.
So in this case, you gotta hide the sound of nun sakin. Hussein, read it and hide it.
الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا.
Super. Thank you so much. That was very good. That was very good. عن سبيل الله. عن سبيل الله. Yeah. So, next important rule is the letter ba. ويبغونها.
Yes.
ويب. ويب. What's the rule?
Qalqala.
Qalqala. Good job. What does it mean?
You pronounce a bouncing sound on these letters, Qutbajat letters.
Yeah, Qutbajat qaf, ta, ba,
jim,
and dal. One of these six letters, five letters.
So is this a weak qalqala?
Yeah, it's a weak qalqala. It's in the middle. So one of these five letters, if they appear sakin, you echo the sound. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. عِوَجًا, after عِوَجًا you have waw. Tanween plus waw. Waw was from يَرْمَلُون letters, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So you merge them, idgham. عِوَجًا جَوْ جَوْ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ. One more rule and that will be all. وَهُمْ mim sakin plus ba. Do you remember the rule?
Ikhfa of meme.
Ah, you hide the sound of meme. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ.
Yes.
Okay. So, That's all. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for explanation for tafsir. Now, time to recite. I will recite once. Hussein and Fawad Haider will repeat. Make sure, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, you join us. Let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا
الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا
Pronounce the عين correctly. عوجا ويبغونها عوجا وهم بالآخرة كافرون
وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio, Fawad and Hussein Akbari. Thank you so much for being with us in this session. See you inshallah next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.